Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, Apple Music's spatial audio bonus favours major labels. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
On this week's show, how Apple Music's bonus for content delivered in spatial audio may actually hurt smaller artists and labels, and the rapid decline in the number of UK music venues in 2023. But first, Chris, tell me what the standout thing in the music business for you was this week.
Well, whether or not it was the standout, I don't know if I'd go that far, but the Brit nominations came out this week, the shortlists for this year's Brit Awards, and much to the relief of everybody involved in organising the Brit Awards, including record label trade body BPI, that are ultimately the producers of the Brit Awards, to everybody's relief this year, some decent diversity, certainly if you take all the shortlists at large and within the big key, like Artist of the Year categories, a decent mix, certainly in terms of a gender balance, because that was the issue 12 months ago, the Brits having got rid of their gender Artist of the Year categories, gender specific, I should say. Then you ended up with all of the Artist of the Year nominations last year being male. This year, some decent gender diversity, but also good genre mix, I think, and decent representation from the indie labels. I think that's a correct interpretation. You've scanned through the nominations. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's right. And after numerous changes in recent years, attempting to improve equality and diversity and inclusion in the Brit Awards nominations, we're finally kind of getting there with this year's shortlists. So it's looking good.
Yeah, well done to everyone at the Brits and the BPI for making those changes. Also, of course, well done to the people who actually vote in the Brits Academy. Hey, that includes me. Do you know what?
And me.
Let us take responsibility for this as members of the Brit Voting
Academy.
Oh, yeah,
great. Two white men taking responsibility. This looks great.
You'll also note that we didn't take responsibility for last year's disaster.
No.
And as we say, the major labels do still dominate, I guess, in total, but some decent representation of indie labels. And also, it's interesting to see that a number of independently releasing artists are in there, most of them working with the major labels, label services and distribution companies like AWOL and The Orchard and ADA. So the majors, I guess, are still getting a little bit of the glory there, but interesting to see more of that being represented. And I guess, most importantly of all, Ray is up for seven awards, which we are told by the people who follow these things is the most nominations for a single artist in any one year since the Brit Awards began back in the olden days when they weren't even called the Brit Awards. And obviously that's kind of funny because Universal Music had Ray on their Polydor label, did fuck all with her. She had an album ready to go. They wouldn't release it. After a little bit of scandal around the fact that they weren't allowing her to release music, they finally released her from that deal. I think it was like 7 years she was locked into that deal that went nowhere. So, I guess if you want to do a bit of major label bashing, nice to see. Well, it's nice to see Ray getting those nominations anyway, but there is a little bit of a major label bashing element to that. But we're not here to bash major labels. I mean, we are.
yeah, we so are.
But not in the context of the Brits, because the major labels are very involved in making the Brits happen, so they can have some of the glory of having a decent, diverse list of shortlists for this year's Brit Awards. And don't forget, the Brit Awards is happening very soon. And despite all the positive stuff we've just said and the fact that they very kindly let us vote, we should always put in that little CMU footnote that all music awards are a bit of a nonsense. Who cares? So with that in mind, let's stop talking about the Brit Awards. Let's get on with talking about what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, later on, we'll be talking through even more of this week's most interesting music industry news stories, including Madonna's insistence that she's actually a great timekeeper. But first, Apple Music's new bonus for tracks delivered in spatial audio, which was first reported late last year, will kick in this month. The tech giant's music service told record labels and music distributors this week that they will see the impact of that bonus on this month's figures and payments. Basically, from now on, when spatial available tracks are played on Apple Music, each play will count as 1.1 plays for track allocation purposes, meaning more money will be allocated to those tracks and less to the tracks which are not spatial available.
Now, by spatial available, that's Apple's term, that basically means any track that has been delivered to the Apple streaming service in a spatial audio format. It doesn't actually matter if anybody listens to the spatial audio version of the track will still get the bonus, oblivious of what version is played, providing the spatial audio format is an option for the users. Which means if users stream the standard version of a spatial available track, this 1.1 play thing, this bonus, will still apply. Now, these changes are clearly partly driven by Apple's bid to get everybody in the world listening to spatial audio, because if they can do that, they can sell lots more expensive devices and headphones that people can use in order to stream music. So on one level, this is about Apple achieving its own objective around higher quality audio, immersive audio, spatial audio, etc., etc., etc. However, from our perspective, I think the more interesting thing is that this is another change to a streaming platform's business model that is set to benefit bigger artists and bigger labels to the detriment of independents, self-releasing artists, grassroots artists, etc. Firstly, because it is the major record companies, the big record companies, the superstar artists who are more likely to be in a position to be able to provide their music in spatial audio. Although there is also a second complexity, we have been told, in the way this is being organized, that will also negatively impact on the sort of independent grassroots end of the industry.
Well, we'll get to that other complexity in a moment. Let's deal with the first issue first. So currently, many independent artists will master tracks themselves or use automated mastering services to create the final tracks for delivery via their distributor to streaming platforms, including Apple Music. Sources who spoke to CMU have said that there are currently no mass market and affordable convert stereo to spatial services available that pass Apple's quality assurance threshold for spatial audio. And while there are a number of services out there that claim to be able to use AI to offer spatial audio mastering, CMU sources have indicated that Apple will currently not allow these files to pass those quality assurance processes. And this means that the only option for independent creators and labels to deliver spatial audio content to Apple is to pay for mastering. Now, engineers that we've spoken to have said that the availability of spatial mastering capacity has increased over the last year and the costs of spatial mastering have stabilized. However, that cost is still beyond the reach of many creators, and for labels with a significant amount of content, it may represent a really significant investment before their catalogue can be re-delivered to Apple as spatial audio.
Yeah, so that poses the question for certainly self-releasing artists and maybe some smaller independent record companies as well, as to whether or not they can afford to do what they need to do in order to get this new bonus. But what about this other complexity that we mentioned? Well, we've been told by our sources that to benefit from the new spatial available bonus, a licensing party will need to first pass a specific threshold. Basically, they need to get 50% or more of their streams globally across their entire catalogue in 1 month from spatial available tracks. And crucially, it is the licensing entity that needs to pass that threshold. So what do I mean by licensing entity? Well, a company that has a contract, a license with Apple. And for most independent labels, and certainly for self-releasing and independent artists, they're not licensing entities. They don't have deals or contracts with Apple. They are relying on a distributor. So the distributor is the licensing entity, which means that unless a label or artist has their own distribution agreement with Apple, they may not be eligible for the 10% bonus payment, even if they have provided all of their content in spatial audio, because whether or not they qualify for the bonus depends not on what they have done, but whether or not their distributor has passed this threshold. And as is always the case with all things like this, the lack of transparency means that, as it currently stands, artists and labels won't know whether or not their distributor has passed that threshold.
On top of that, we also need to understand that this bonus is not being paid by Apple. As I said, having spatial audio means that your track plays count for 1.1 plays, which means that actually the the extra 10% is being taken from the total available pool of money available to rights holders, which means that not only might a label or creator be ineligible to receive the bonus, but in fact, they're losing out further because the bonus is being taken from the reallocation of revenue. So as with the changes made by Spotify and Deezer to the way they allocate money, it does seem like the indies and self-releasing artists could lose out. And one person who spoke to us noted that the news originally broke in a report from Bloomberg at a point when everyone was laying into Spotify about its own changes to how it was going to pay out royalties come the new year. And at the time, that was generally taken as Apple's doing something good while Spotify was being bad. And our source said, you can't help feel that that was maybe a well-timed leak.
And who doesn't love a well-timed leak? So we will be following all of this very closely because, as is often the way with these things, messages are sent out by Apple to the labels and distributors that have some of the information, and then other bits of reporting come out and people tell us stuff. So we will be following this very closely. But I think in the context of the changes that both Spotify and Deezer have made, although on one level it feels like the Apple thing is totally different because it's all about promoting spatial audio, actually, in terms of the impact on the industry, it's kind of the same as what is happening at Spotify and Deezer. So I think lots more scrutiny is needed. And I think the independent sector and the artist and songwriter community will be looking into this and saying, yeah, are we being screwed over yet again? And unfortunately, in some cases, it kind of feels like they are.
Coming up later, pleas and threats over the news that the UK lost two grassroots music venues a week on average in 2023. But before that, some other stories from the music industry this week, starting with Madonna and Live Nation, who say that their show in New York last year started late because of a technical issue and not because Madonna is bad at timekeeping. They were responding to a lawsuit brought against them by two fans who say that stating the show's start time as 8:30 p.m. constituted false advertising and a breach of contract when Madonna actually took to the stage over 2 hours later.
If you're thinking that this week's edition of Setlist is lacking AI news, do not worry. The American Federation of Musicians has begun talks with the Hollywood studios over the contracts that cover music made for films and TV shows. And there are two big issues on the agenda in those talks. Streaming remuneration is one of them, but AI is the other. And both of those are actually issues which prompted last year's strikes in Hollywood from actors and writers. Let's see if the musicians can get a deal without having to go on strike.
Spotify says that the EU's Digital Markets Act will open up huge opportunities for it to do new things in its app, not least setting up super fan clubs that will allow labels and artists to sell content to fans who are willing to pay for it. Previously, Apple's 30% commission on in-app transactions made this too costly.
More AI news. Universal Music Publishing, Concord and Abco all hit out at AI firm Anthropic's claim that Tennessee is the wrong US state for pursuing any copyright infringement lawsuit against the AI company. But the music publishers who have filed that lawsuit point out that Anthropic has both employees and customers in the state of Tennessee. So although Anthropic is based in California, Tennessee is a perfectly fine place to be suing them, the publishers said in a legal filing.
And lastly, in this quickfire section, Hypnosis Song Fund issued a memo alleging that Hypnosis Song Management cherry-picked assets from the Hypnosis Songs Fund catalogue for a proposed sale to another investment fund, that being Hypnosis Songs Capital. Are you confused? Well, I can't do anything about that right now because I've only got another sentence to explain this. So if you want to go and read our more detailed explanation of that story, which is hopefully clearer, and indeed reports on everything else discussed here, you can find links in the show notes for this episode or at completemusicupdate.com. And finally, on this edition of Setlist, grassroots music venues in the UK closed down at a rate of 2 per week. In 2023, says the latest annual report from the Music Venue Trust, which was published this week. Elsewhere, the report said that the grassroots venue sector at large generated revenues of £500 million in 2023, but made profits of just £2.5 million. And it says, without support from grants and donations, including the Music Venue Trust's own pipeline investment fund, the sector would have operated at a loss. Meanwhile, it notes, the top end of the live business is booming. And alongside the publication of the report, Music Venue Trust CEO Mark David said that it was now imperative for the industry to find a way to act collectively to get these venues and artists who rely on them the financial support they need to survive. And if not, he said, the organisation will seek legislation to compel it.
Now, the Music Venue Trust has been campaigning for a levy to be applied to ticket sales on large-scale shows to provide support for the grassroots sector, similar to a scheme already in place in France. We talked about that last month because you may remember MVT said that if the industry couldn't agree a voluntary scheme, then the government and parliament should seek to intervene to create some sort of levy system to support the grassroots sector through legislation. And alongside the new report, the Music Venue Trust also confirmed that it is now reaching out to all of the UK political parties seeking manifesto commitments ahead of the next general election, in which they will say, we are going to intervene and set up some sort of system that takes money away from the upper end of life to support the grassroots. And Mark David also said, the idea that we as an industry cannot voluntarily create a levy to support our grassroots sector unilaterally and without government intervention is absurd, but we cannot escape the fact that we are simply not acting fast enough. So if you follow Mark David on social media, you will not be surprised. Some pretty tough talking there on this issue.
Yeah, and it's no secret that the grassroots live industry has been facing significant challenges ever since the COVID shutdowns ended. High energy costs and rent increases averaging at 37% are cited by MVT as particularly problematic. As a result, 125 grassroots venues closed last year, while 38% of those still operating reported a loss despite increased demands for tickets. And highlighting why further losses of venues would be particularly bad for not just the music industry, but the UK in general, the report said that the 835 members of the organisation's Music Venue Alliance employs over 28,000 people and staged over 187,000 events in 2023, with 1.7 million individual artist performances attracting audience visits of over 23.5 million. That's what resulted in over £500 million in revenues. But as I said, the profits of the sector came in at just 2.5 million.
Yes, fans of maths might be interested to know that that is 0.5% profit margin for the sector at large. Commenting on those stats, particularly the number of venues that shut down entirely last year, MVT's COO, Beverly Wittrick, said that 2023 was the worst year for venue closures since the Music Venue Trust was set up 10 years ago. Despite repeated warnings, she said, the top end of the live music sector posts record profits, while, with a few notable exceptions, turning a blind eye to those who discover, nurture and develop the artists that generate that revenue for them. We will provide a link to our coverage on this story, but also to the annual report if you're interested, which you can download from the MVT website in the show notes for this edition of Setlist.
Yeah, but that's all we've got time for on this week's Setlist. We will be back with another episode next week, and you can keep up with all the latest music industry news every day at completemusicupdate.com.